Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
My name is Matt Kladnick, the lead pastor here. But today we have a special guest who's going to be preaching. And I'm really excited because, number one, there's no way I was going to write a sermon that would be anything you'd want to listen to today, being sick all week. That's number one. But number two, we're just a church that believes that God has a calling and an anointing on this next generation. And it is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to identify and equip and release people into everything that God has for them. And so it's really exciting for me today to step down and to sit in the rows with you guys as we welcome Alan Rosas, who's bringing the word today. Alan has had a really crazy year, got engaged, got married. I got to be at their wedding, which was beautiful. And can we just pray for Alan as he gets ready to share God's word with us? Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence. That God, there's even a stirring already in our time of worship. That's like I felt like it was like kneading the dough, you know? Something's just working inside of us. Our hearts are getting ready for you to bake something beautiful inside of us. So God, I thank you for our time of worship, that it removes some of the obstacles, that your Spirit worked through the parts of our lives that have been hiding for a little while. And God, now, we're ready to hear from you. We're ready to hear from your word. We're ready to be encouraged and challenged. God, bring your Holy Spirit's conviction into our lives. God, where there's correction needs to take place, God, would you do it? God, would we leave this place changed? Would we leave this place looking more and more like your son? God, thank you for Alan, for his obedience to say yes, his obedience to proclaim your word with boldness and authority. Give us ears to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Alan Rosas.
All right. How's everyone doing? Well, before I start, I just wanted to share something. I was sitting there in worship and I was crying. I was weeping, which I always weep. And I realized that I had to apologize to you guys because I was really doubting myself. I was really getting insecure even about coming up here. And I felt so unqualified, and all these doubts and fears began to strike me as I was just sitting there like a couple minutes ago. And I realized that God wanted to speak to me even that moment, that small moment of prayer right there, literally. And he said that I was a son and that this was my house, that I'm a son of the house. And I felt really encouraged. And I realized that God truly qualifies even the unqualified. And I began to get encouraged, like, okay, thank you, God. You're so good. Like, you're so faithful. And so I just wanted to apologize to you guys, and I'm going to give it my best, even if it's not the best, but I'm going to give my best. And I also just want to repent before the Lord, and I trust him, and I know that he wants to speak to me, that this was no coincidence. And so let's get started. All right. So I have been coming to this church, this building, since I was 12. And maybe there's a few people here who might remember my face when I was little. I started coming here to the Spanish service with my mom. And that was, yeah, when I was 12. So it was 15 years ago. And I did the math. That's about 780 Sundays, except the ones that I didn't show up. But other than that, it's almost there. And it's been an honor and a privilege to be here and to see what God's been doing even over the years. I've seen like just the growth, the difficult moments, the transitions, and I've seen all of that. And in this last decade and a half in my personal life, I watched when I was 12, my mom come to the faith in this building because of the Spanish service. And so I just want to give a shout out to even the faithfulness of Pastor Sal and his ministry. I know some of you guys know him. And my mom's right there. And so in that, I ended up going to Camp Cedar Crest. And so because of that, I ended up going to Camp Cedar Crest. I personally got saved at camp. And I've been, ever since that, I've been there about 15 times as a camper and also as a camp leader. In the last decade and a half, I have grown to love Jesus so much through the different people and leaders and family that I've found here. I got to do 2 internships here at the church, and I've got to be a part of the youth ministry and be a youth leader for 2 or 3 years. And that was an incredible thing for me as well. And finally, I've invited countless friends and family to be here with us. And so because of this place, because this place exists, I have been able to fall in love more with Jesus and to truly be called into my calling, which is missions and to pastor people. So that's been awesome for me. This place has not just been a resting place for me, but also for like the different people and friends and family whom I've invited to be here. And so before I start, I just want to honor our pastors. Can we just honor Pastor Matt and Grace? I just want to thank you guys for believing in me and for just even being obedient to hearing God's word and trusting me to share here and to wear my hat, my flannel, my cool shoes up here and look a little different. So thank you for constantly encouraging me in this moment too. So I also want to give a shout out to the church. Thank you guys for welcoming me. Thank you for having smiles on your faces. And it looks like everyone is happy to see me here, which that really encourages me. And finally, I just want to give a shout out to my family who's visiting, my mom, my friends, you know, all you guys who came out and drove here to be here. Thank you guys. And most importantly, I just want to give a shout out to my wife, Kayla. And I've always wanted to do this. Can we just blow her up and encourage her right now? Come on. I don't know if you know, guys, but when she's not here in the pews, she's actually serving in the nursery, loving on your kids and playing with them. And she's so gentle with them. And she truly, truly cares about your kids. So shout out to that. And if you guys feel called even to help in the nursery, I've been in there. It is the best time ever. I truly believe that Jesus would be in there playing with those kids, teaching them and loving on them and encouraging them. So I just want to challenge you. It's once a month or something like that, you know, not being biased. You can hang out with me in there too. So yes, so I can continue to talk about that and blowing up my wife, but let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for this moment. I just want to honor you, Lord, for being here today and for encouraging me this morning right here, right now, Lord. And so, God, I thank you that it's not me who's speaking, God, but thank you that you want to speak through me, that you want to use me as an instrument, God, to deliver, God, your word, Jesus. God, that it may encourage people, God, that it may edify Jesus, that it may convict someone, Lord. And so I just pray that this morning, Jesus, I just want to submit to your leadership. And Holy Spirit, I want to be empowered by you. I don't want to speak out of the flesh, but I want to speak out of your spirit, Lord. So even if my words aren't the best, Lord, that you are with me and that you are here, Lord. So I just pray for every person here, God. I pray that you would open their minds and open their ears, God, and their eyes, God, to receive this, God. Open their hearts to receive this message, God. And I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I was like worshiping my guts out there and I'm like, my mouth is dry. I was like screaming and jumping. So I love that our opening series is about resetting. And this is because like every year, I'm sure that some of you guys have taken time to be like, oh, like I don't want to take this with me like this year, or I want to change this or change that. And so it was an opportunity even to challenge me when I got invited to speak, like, wow, like what do I need to reset? And what have I done even like the past like year? And I realized like, oh my gosh, I need to evaluate. And so I began to evaluate all the different things that happened. And guys, I had a crazy year. As Pastor Matt was sharing, I got engaged, I got married, I moved into my new place with Kayla 2 days before our honeymoon, and I also got called into pastoring in missions in our missional community. And it was crazy. How many of you know that after all that in a year, you either go crazy or you just grow in your prayer life? And I chose the better portion. I realized that all these monumental like moments and crazy things, that it really didn't have much to do with what I was capable of or what me and Kayla could do, but it was the goodness of God that allowed me to get here. And it took so much a radical faith and prayer, and I had to dive in crazy like never before and reset my old prayer life and begin this new prayer life that was fervent with zeal and with passion to seek the Lord and believe that I could get engaged, that I could get married, that I could pastor, and that even that if I felt like I wasn't good enough, that God was saying I was good enough. And in light of all these changes, I realized that before I would use prayer more as like a parachute to save me when I was in trouble. To be honest, how many of us have done that before? It's been like our last moment. We're like, oh snap, like now it's time to pray. God, please, like help me. I need to pass this test or this quiz or I need this job, you know? But I realized that instead of doing that I wanted it to be the first thing that I ran to, that the one person that never fails me, that never leaves me and forsakes me is God. And so can we just look at the Bible for a moment? And I just want to share a couple of people in the Bible who prayed crazy prayers. And I just want to, that's what we're going to hit on. We're going to hit on prayer. And prayer matters. And that's the name of my message today, is that prayer matters. So this first person that I want to look at is Jehoshaphat. He prayed when his land was about to be invaded and the Lord won the battle for them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed before they were going to go into the furnace. Because they were going to get burned by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they lived. Hannah prayed for a child, and even though she was called barren, she birthed one of the greatest prophets. Elijah prayed for it not to rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. And also Paul, who continually prayed for the churches. All these people who pray these crazy prayers, and we see that God listens. God cares about your prayers. As crazy as it is, he listens. And other two people that I wanted to just highlight were Peter and John, two of the greatest apostles who, you know, one of them was walked on water. I'm sure some of us would love to walk on water. And the other one who's called the one whom Jesus loved and who actually rested his head on the chest of Jesus. Can you just imagine that, like, awesome moment? It's so sweet. And I truly believe that, like, they, you know, after witnessing, like, one of the most, like, powerful messages and the greatest pouring of the Holy Spirit, and salvation came to the Jews, that what they did after was like blew my mind. It says in Acts chapter 3 that they were on their way to the place of prayer. And I was like, wow, like these guys just saw so many people saved. Crazy, the Holy Spirit came down. And I'm just like, after this, I would feel, you know, like pretty good, you know, like, you know, I did that, you know, but it really, they knew that it wasn't them. And so they were on their way to the place of prayer in chapter 3. And these guys understood the depth of prayer. And as successful as they could have felt, or people could have told them that they were never too big for prayer. And so I just want to encourage you that there is no moment where you land that you're like, okay, like I'm too good to pray now. I know my Bible perfectly. I know this perfectly. We are called to prayer. We are all called to prayer. Prayer matters. And so the first point is this, is I want to talk about what prayer is. What is prayer? And as I did my studying, and as I was like sitting down and trying to prep this message, I realized that this could go so many different ways. And I was just like, well, prayer is this. This person says this. This evangelist says this. This preacher says this. And I was like, wow, there's so many definitions. And I ended up really liking what Billy Graham said. All he said is, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And even though prayer is complex, it's so simple at the same time. Prayer is us engaging and speaking to God and giving him the opportunity to speak back. Now tell your neighbor, you can speak to God. Prayer is as simple as sharing your concerns, your needs, thanking him, and even praising him. And you can do it anywhere that you go, and there is no wrong or right moment. It's always a right moment to pray. In your mind, on the bus, when you're getting your latte, like any of those moments, you can continue praying for yourself, for others, or praying into different things. Prayer is so much like communication. You know, one of the most simple ways to communicate is between man, between us. And a more complex way of communication is a man talking to a woman. You know, things, you know, get a little mixed up there. And I realize that I have these moments. It's true, right? Come on. It's true. I have these moments in my marriage with Kayla where I'm going to put her on blast, though. But she knows it's coming. She knows it's coming. There's these moments in our marriage where I ask her, hey, babe, how was your day? And, you know, she begins to tell me, like, okay, this is what happened, begins to catch me up. And she usually expects me to, like, respond and, like, encourage her or agree with her usually. Sometimes, you know, I'm not, like, in agreement, but most of the time I am. Otherwise, you know. And so this is what it sounds like. This is kind of what it sounds like. I'm going to try my best, all right? Babe, today was a rough day. Today at work, everyone was being pretty darn mean. No one even left me a tip. Like, what's wrong with them? you know? And then on the way back home, that 405 traffic, it's so demonic. Yeah. Can we agree? And, you know, I got cut off by this person. He could have caused an accident. Like, what's wrong with him? And to top it all off, guess what? I went to my favorite ramen place and they got my order wrong. Alan, I'm so fed up with today. Can you just love me and feed me, please? And I look at her and I'm like, wow. And I begin to think of different ways to encourage her, to love on her, and to sympathize with what it is that she's feeling in the moment. And I truly believe that this is how we should go into our prayers with God, expectant that he's going to respond. And he's going to respond because he truly loves us and he wants to respond. You just have to make space for him to respond. You know, there's moments where Kayla's like, nope, I don't want to hear it. You're going to rebuke me. I don't want to hear it. But then there's these awesome moments where she lets me respond. Raise your hands if you've had a bad day at work. Raise your hand if that's happened to you. You've been stuck in that demonic 405 traffic and all that stuff. And there's moments like you have these people that you feel safe with that you'll share, like, man, my day was so sucky. You know, maybe it's your husband or your wife, or it's a close friend or your brother, or it's just God, you know? And so I make sure to listen and to listen well, because most of the time, she actually does expect me to respond. And then we've got to remember, as I was saying earlier, that prayer truly is a two-way conversation. Now tell your neighbor, God speaks. God actually speaks and responds into our prayers and in our lives. And I can show you in the Bible. I'm going to share a couple of verses here where it talks about God speaking. So Genesis 8:15, it says, God spoke unto Noah, saying. Genesis 12:1, it says, the Lord has said unto Abram. Exodus 24:12, it says, the Lord said unto Moses. Isaiah 38:4, it says, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. Matthew 3:17, it says, behold, the voice from heaven said. In Acts 11:19, it says, but a voice from heaven answered a second time. Now tell your neighbor again, God speaks. In these moments where we open up and we allow God to speak to us, it's a perfect moment to begin to get his mind and his heart for our lives and for what we're going through. And I've seen that when we get the perspective of heaven, it begins to transform our lives from the inside out. And no longer are you like, oh my gosh, I hate that person. God bless that person, you know? And it begins to change your actions, the way you see things and the way that you respond. And so when I talk to Kayla and I begin to encourage her and tell her like, hey, like, maybe this person was, you know, it was a hurry going to the hospital, all these different, you know, things. You know, maybe it's not true, you know, but, you know, at least it'll, like, change the atmosphere in the moment. And so we should go into our conversations, into our prayer lives with God, expectant that he desires to speak back into you and speak into your prayers and into your lives. Yeah. Prayer matters. I don't know about you, but for many of us, for the first time that we saw prayer or like really experienced like what prayer was in church or maybe at like a wedding or in worship or maybe for some of you like in a funeral. But for me, it was actually in a hospital bed. How many mothers do we have out here? I was gonna get a little serious. So now imagine having your child in a hospital bed. And maybe some of you have had, well, that was me, not the mother. I was the one in the hospital bed. I remember these moments at night where I would watch my mom pray and cry. And at the moment, I just thought she was sad. What you guys don't know is that I was actually diagnosed at the age of 6 in 1998. Now you can guess my age. At the age of 6, a virus that attacked the back part of my brain and it paralyzed me waist down. It was super crazy. And till the day, this is the crazy part, till the day, the virus doesn't have a name, but they call it based on what it does. And the medical term is ataxia. I don't know if we have anyone here who knows what that is, but it's called ataxia. And so I was paralyzed waist down. I was rushed to the hospital and I spent over a month in the hospital. And it was a virus that there's no like medicine to fight it. So there was like not a lot of hope in that moment. So it was either like the virus is gonna leave on its own or it would take my life. So can you imagine being in my mom's feet and praying into these things? Like, I don't know what that looks like, to be completely honest, but I will say that something that I realized later on was that those prayers at night was what held her up during the day to tell me, hey, everything is gonna be okay. Amen. Prayer matters. So my second point is about prayer being a necessity. It's not a second option. It's not even an option as a believer. Can we just like reset and renew this theology that, like I was saying earlier, prayer is not our backup or the place that we go to after we've tried everything in our own strength. It's the first place that we should go to. And it's a necessity in our lives and our walks with the Lord. If we want to make it to the end and hear, well done. Yeah. Church, prayer is a necessity. If there's something that I would want to challenge you guys this year as you reset, is to dig into this word prayer and to pray and intercede more. And if you already do it more. Yeah. As Christians, we just cannot go another life without lives that are fueled by prayer. If we are truly to be Christ-like, we all need to pray. We're all called to pray. How many of you know that Jesus did some pretty freaking wild things? Yeah. I'm gonna share a couple. Calm the storm. Heal the paralytic, open the eyes of the blind, raise the dead. And I don't know about you, but I would have loved to see those things happen and be, wow, like just be like, wow. But there's people who did, the disciples, they got to see this Jesus in action. As I was reading that, I found something really interesting. And it's not something that, you've probably heard this before, but it's Luke 11:1. And this is what it says, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught the disciples. And to some of you, like, okay, like, where are you trying to get to? But I was shocked when I read this. I was so shocked. I was like, these people, the disciples, they had seen the ministry of Jesus and they saw all these crazy supernatural stuff happen. But there was one thing that they wanted. They wanted to learn to pray. Right? Like, that's crazy to me. It wasn't like any of the miracles or the deliverance of people or raising the dead or feeding the 5,000. They wanted to learn to pray because they knew that if they had the prayer life of Jesus, that they could operate in all of this. Jesus was a man of prayer. And I'm going to follow up with a parable that he shares. And this is a way that I truly believe that we should pray. And I've seen, I don't know about you, but like in the Latino community, there is some like fervent, crazy, like prayer warriors. And I truly believe that they model this parparable right here. And so Luke 18:1-8 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in the city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. That's kind of funny. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And I want you to think about that for a second. And what I want to highlight about this is that to me, it was a clear picture of what that Jesus was trying to compare this lady and our prayer lives, the way that we pray, the style that we pray. And you see that this lady, she did not care. She was probably, I'm trying to imagine the way that this probably looked like. She was at the judge's house, like banging on her door, like day and night, until he finally said yes. And not just that, this judge didn't even fear God or respect man. Isn't that crazy? Like, he didn't care. He just said, this lady is bothering me. She's continually like coming to my door and knocking and banging. Like, I'm just gonna give this lady like the victory pretty much. And I see that that's how we should be operating in prayer. And I know that every single one of us has these crazy prayers in our hearts that maybe we've seen some of them come into fruition. We've seen God answer our prayers, but maybe there may be some of us who haven't seen them, who are still waiting. We're still knocking on the door day and night, waiting for God to respond. And I want to encourage you. In the beginning of the verse, it says, they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so I want to encourage you today that you ought always to pray and not lose heart. Prayer matters. Another verse that I found while I was prepping that really encouraged me was Ephesians 6:18. And this is what it says. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And what I'm doing, I just want to challenge you guys with these verses. I'm preaching to myself. When I was doing this, like I was teaching myself and I was learning and encouraging myself, like, hey, I need to grow in prayer. I need to grow in these areas. And so as I began to read this, like we're learning together right now. And some of you may already know this stuff, but just bear with me. So what I found in this was, this is Paul calling us to get direction in the Spirit when we pray. So I know that there's these prayers that we have in our hearts that are like, you know, our desires or things that we want to pray for people. But there's also these really incredible moments where the Spirit of God is actually leading us to specific prayer points. And so it says, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert. And as believers, we're called to keep alert, to constantly be in communication with God because he wants to speak to you every day. He truly does. And I'm not saying it sounds something like this, like, I am your, you know, I'm not saying that. But God truly wants to speak to you like all the time, every day. And the next part that I really like, it says to do this with all perseverance. That we don't stop, that we persevere in this area of prayer. That to be completely honest, I've realized that even for me, it's a place that's really easy to give up. And I mean, it's cool to be up here. It's cool to go and preach to high school students. It's cool to do the worship and to dance. But those things I feel like in prayer, like people can't see the reward, you know? Sometimes you feel dumb. Like, is anyone like listening to me? Am I just talking to myself? I feel dumb in this. So it's a place that sometimes it's hard to persevere. But Paul still says, persevere. And the last part, I just want to encourage you all. It says, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, pray for the church. We are all called to continually pray for the church. Not just for this church, but for the global church. You know, we're so safe here. There's other countries where they're being persecuted for their faith, having church underground and all over Asia and the Middle East. And we need to pray for them. You know, their lives are so crazy. We, like I said, we have the privilege and honor to come here and safely worship. We have this freedom. They don't. And so I just want to encourage us to continue to pray for the church. And so I just pray that this year, like, that we would take it more seriously. And that we wouldn't put a prayer in the areas of like church and ministry and our spirituality on the back burner, but instead, like I was saying earlier, that'd be the first place that we go to, be the first place where we're burning for prayer, where we're not dependent on a Sunday like this, or we're not dependent on a podcast to encourage us, or someone else, or even a conference, but that we are getting our strength and our empowerment from the Spirit of God directly from the actual source. I like this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. He was an evangelist and an author. He speaks tons about revival and prayer. And it's so simple. He says, no man or woman is greater than his prayer life. And I truly, truly believe that. Because I'm like, wow, like, I really don't have, I mean, hopefully this doesn't sound depressing, but I don't really have that many, like, giftings or talents. Like all my friends, like, you know, some of them can build websites, or Kayla's really good at photography or sports or something. And I'm like, wow, like I don't have much, but I'm really good with people. And I'm really good at speaking with people and stuff like that. But I don't know if that's really a gift or not. But for me, thank you. But for me, I've realized that the way that God has used me has been from a place of prayer. And it is my strength has been my vulnerability with people. And this has all come from prayer. I get vulnerable with the Lord, and the Lord empowers me to get vulnerable with people. And through that place, people get healed, literally. People get encouraged. People feel loved and honored to talk to me. And you can ask anyone, and I'm not trying to like blow myself up, but I'm like, wow, like even right now I'm preaching to myself because I'm like, oh, like I do have a gift. I'm encouraging myself. Encourage yourself, all right? And my last point, I just want to pray with you guys and I want to take action. I truly believe that I am here because there was these key people who took action in my life. They took action in my life while I was in high school getting in trouble and ditching class for 58 days back to back, watching DVDs behind the photo classroom. Seriously, There's people who were praying for me while I was getting in trouble and doing drugs and doing all these things. And you're like, what? Like, really? Like, you did all these things? And there was these people, key people, like my mom, my grandma, and my aunt being the number three, the three people who consistently prayed, like the lady who was banging on the door of the judge day and night for the son to return to the father. And so I just want to give it up for my mom right here. She never stopped praying and believing. And I honestly don't know, like, I really don't know what I would have done or where I would have ended. And I truly believe that it was because of the prayers of these people. And I'm like, I'm looking at my, like, lineage, and I don't see any crazy, like, evangelist or any preacher or any, like, I don't know, whatever you call it. But I do see something. I see that there's been prayers in my generational line that have said, I will not stop until I see the word of the Lord come. And I saw their faith. And that has encouraged me to grow in this prayer life and to go to God and trust him, because he looks so much bigger than any freaking circumstance that I'm facing. And to be completely honest, guys, last year, even though there was all these monumental moments, and this is not part of my sermon, there's all these monumental moments, I realized that, wow, I had a freaking crazy, hard, difficult year where I spent so much time crying and weeping because I was like, how am I going to come up with the money to get engaged, to get married, to do this? And in that moment, in that time, and I don't, just to be kind of blunt, like my parents, and like they began to have this issue and this problem. And it was really, really, really rough in my life. It was such a critical moment for me to grow. And then I hear this terrible news, and their marriage is struck and going through a difficult time. And so I'm like navigating all these things, and I literally can tell you that it wasn't my strength. It was no longer me. I had surrendered and given up. God, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? I have no money. My family is going to like crap. To be honest, I don't have direction for my life, anything. And God said, trust me. I'm producing something in you. I'm making you steadfast. Because I want you to run with me for the long run. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that on our own strength, we won't be able to be faithful in the long run. We're not. We're so weak and so fragile. We get frustrated over the wrong cup of freaking coffee. Yeah. Or if we get the wrong order, we begin to bash like the server and do all this crazy stuff. We're weak. But God is strong. Yeah. And like I was saying earlier, in these moments of weakness, it's when I became weak and I realized, God, I can't do it anymore. It was God who became my strength. This was all in the place of prayer. So I just want you to reset that. Reset that theology that prayer is just optional. It's not optional. Yeah. This is where we should run to every single day. We are all called to the ministry of prayer. Yeah. And this is how I want to end. I don't just want to end as hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so today I just want to share some new and fresh ways that we can pray together. We're going to do something real practical. And to be honest, I was nervous because I'm like, some of us might feel uncomfortable, but we're going to do three prayers together as a church. We're going to live this out right here and right now. So what we're going to do, the first thing that I want us to do is that we are going to intercede on behalf of someone else. We are going to pray for someone that God is prompting in your heart and you're believing for. And we're going to pray for that person. And what I want to do is that we're going to all engage. I know it may be hard for some of you guys, but God is going to break fear this morning. Yes. God, we're going to engage and we're going to raise our voices. We're going to use our voices today. And I know that God does hear our whispers. But I don't want just heaven to hear our whispers, but I want hell to hear our shouts. And so the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray for someone next to you. Maybe you want to get in a group of two or three, if that helps you. And if you've never prayed out loud for someone, ask the person to pray for you. I'm sure someone would love to help you. So don't feel scared. Don't be afraid. And the last thing is my favorite. And this is probably going to make a couple of us feel uncomfortable. But I believe that we should do it. And we're going to pray what my good friend and leader Brian says, Korean style. And some of you guys are like, what does that even mean? What does Korean style mean? Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a Korean church, but I've been to a few. And they get wild, guys. They get wild in prayer. And they all raise their voices. And they fervently go after something corporately. And I truly believe that together, We have more power. We're stronger together. We're stronger when we're unified and we raise our voices. And so can everyone stand with me? If you're able to stand, please stand with me. I need you to shake it off a little bit because we're gonna get a little wild. All right? All right. So the first point, we are gonna intercede. I want you to even just begin to think now and ask God for someone that he's been prompting in your heart. Like, hey, like you need to pray for this person, whether it be a friend, whether it be your husband or your wife, or maybe it's someone that ticked you off today. God wants you to pray for them. And so we're gonna all use our voices together, and I'll lead. We'll all raise our voices together and we're gonna intercede for someone. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Ready.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Jesus, thank you so much for my dad, Lord, and for my brother, Tony, God. Thank you that you love them so much, Jesus, that you created them, that you fashioned them, God. You created them in the womb, Jesus. God, I thank you, God, that you're going to bring salvation to their lives, God, and that they're going to encounter you and know you and live for you one day, Jesus. God, I thank you that my hope is not in people or anything or any circumstance, but my hope is in you, Jesus. God, thank you so much that you've been faithful, Lord. And so I just pray a prayer of blessing over these people. So next, we're going to pray for the person next to you. You can get in a group of 2 or 3, but I want you to be bold and pray for the person next to you. And if you don't know how to pray, it's okay. Ask them to pray for you. Or maybe they'll go for it and begin to pray for you. But ask them, how can you pray for them? How can you stand with them? What is it that they're believing in, that they're having trouble, or that they're hurt, or they're sad? How can you pray for that person and tell them, I will stand with you and I will pray with you? So let's all lift our voices, guys. Let's all lift our voices. Let's go after this together. And let's pray for each other. This is what the church is. It's not just a building, but it's a body of people, a small company of people who said, we believe for you. We stand with you as a family. And we believe that God is going to move in your life. And I stand with you. I believe in you. God's going to do it. And press through, press through. Keep going, guys. Don't be afraid. You might not see these people next time. Keep praying, guys. It's worth it. You're going to walk away saying that you prayed for someone or someone prayed for you. The Bible says in chapter 5, James chapter 5, that the prayer of a righteous are powerful, and your righteousness is not based on what you do, but it's based on what he did. Your prayers are powerful. So as I get to the last prayer point where we're going to rumble together, we're going to pray Korean style. I want you to be expectant and be ready. So can we all, when you're done praying for that other person, can we just link hands, hold someone's hand? And we're all gonna go after this together. And like I said, we're gonna shout if you're able to shout. We're gonna use our words, we're gonna use our voice and proclaim the truth. Jesus, I thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you're you may not promise us the perfect or easiest life, but you do promise us that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you are faithful to the end, Jesus. God, I pray that if anyone is hurting right now, Jesus, if someone is going through a tough time in their marriage, Lord, I pray that you would restore that marriage, Jesus. I pray that if you have a son or a daughter who's hurting, has walked away from the Lord, that you believe and keep praying as my mom did, as my aunt and grandma did, that they will return as a prodigal, and you're going to receive them with your arms open, because that's the goodness of the Father. He's not here to shame you or to beat you or strike you down with a lightning bolt. He's here to receive you and honor you and put a ring on your finger, put a cloak on your back, because he loves you and you are worth it and he paid the price. All you have to do is receive it. If you know someone who is sick, who may have cancer or a crazy disease, or it may even be you, begin to pray out loud that you believe in the supernatural power of God and his faithfulness. God, that you are able to heal the way you healed me. I didn't tell you this, but after a month of being in the hospital, the doctors came to my bed after my mom fervently prayed, and they said, we don't know what the heck is going on, but this virus is leaving the body of your baby son, and that he's gonna live, and then people came and they prophesied over me, and they said, your son will live, and he's gonna serve the Lord for the rest of his life. And look at me, 27 years old, I am able to walk perfectly, and wherever I go, I tell people Jesus is good. Lastly, I just want to pray for our nation, guys. I feel like it's so divided and everyone is fighting with each other, and we need unity as a body of Christ, that our faith and the truth is not in a freaking elephant or a donkey, but it's in the Lamb, and His name is Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. So Lord, I just pray that You would just abolish just disunity, Lord. Abolish racism, Lord. Abolish poverty in the name of Jesus. God, that we believe that You will come, God. That You will come and that we're expecting for You to return, God. In Jesus' name. Give yourself a round of applause. Could you just pray, Kirk?